The reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Well, now today we have come to the second Sunday of 2025. So once again, I wish you a happy new year if you missed it. Well, I wasn't here to wish you that last week, so happy new year. And we're looking at this passage from Isaiah 43, and I want to focus on five words found in verse 2. I will be with you. In lots of ways, this is very appropriate because some parts of this world at this time seem like a very uncertain place. One could name Ukraine, you could name the Middle East, America, Greenland, and so on. The list goes on. Some of us find ourselves in uncertain places too. It's very appropriate to remind ourselves that God has promised to be with us. And Jesus himself said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. The words, I will be with you, are written by Isaiah to the people of Israel at a time when life had become very difficult for them. God had always told Israel that they would enjoy his favour if they followed him without blinking. However, if they failed to be obedient to his will and his ways, that favour could be withdrawn. And sadly, that's exactly what had happened in Isaiah's time. God's favour had been withdrawn, and the nation had been ravaged by war, and most of the population had been taken into exile. Isaiah's message is that if they change their ways and turn back to God, then they will find that their fortunes will be restored. And the rest is history. And yet, I wonder what message Isaiah would have for Israel today, because there's so much trust in the land at the moment that I wonder what on earth God makes of it. But that's something of the background. I want to bring this up to date and see what God has for us in this amazing passage of Scripture. Firstly, of course, we've got something that the people of Israel's, of Isaiah's day did not have, because we have the Lord Jesus. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means that we have much more direct access to God, access which they had in a kind of way, yet for us, it's much more immediate. And there are things in this passage of Scripture which we really need to lay hold of, especially in a world as troubled as ours is at the moment. So we start at the beginning. God says, I am the one who created you. He created us. This is one of those things which we know, yet we often pass over it. I remember my parents talking about a prosperous neighbour. And it's interesting what they said. He's a self-made man, you know. And it gave the impression that this guy had worked hard all his life and now had become more important, self-important even. And as such, he had become somewhat bumptious and pompous and kind of expected his fellow men to respect him and follow his advice. A self-made man. And there are two verses in our reading that talk about creation. Verse 1, God says, I am the one who created you. Not a self-made man at all. Created by God. But there's also verse 7 at the end. Everyone who is called by my name, who I formed and made, I created for my glory. As divinely created beings, we're here to give God glory. We're not self-made men and women. We're divinely created men and women. And I was reminded of the time that Jesus came across a man who had been born blind. The disciples were there and asked Jesus, why is he blind? Has he sinned or has his parents sinned? Or somebody in his family? No, said Jesus. He is the way he is, so that the work of God may be seen in his life. And that's an incredible encouragement to all of us. For no matter who we are or what circumstances we face, we are the way we are in order to give glory to God. So yes, we have been created by God in order that we might give God glory. Now that's great because we do not share the pomposity of the self-made man, but we have within us the seeds of peace and joy, seeds which bring glory to God. I wonder, have you ever wondered what God sees when he looks down upon us from heaven? Now, thanks to space travel and pictures from the space station, we now know what Earth looks like from space. But that doesn't show the millions of people who are scurrying around carrying out their daily routines. If we could see the people, would it look a bit like an ant's nest with thousands of individuals milling around trying to earn the next buck? But God does not see us as a crowd. We're not part of a faceless mass. Verse 4 tells us, you are precious and honoured in my sight. And in verse 1 he writes, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So now we see two great features of our relationship with God. First, we have been created by him and created for the purpose of bringing him glory. Secondly, he knows us by name. And I'm reminded of the day that God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet among the nations. And if you still have any doubt about the way God knows us, then read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all my ways. Where can I go from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. We are created by him, and we are known to him by name. Now, in Psalm 40 and verse 2, we read, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, and he set my feet and gave me a firm place to stand. Set my feet on a rock, he gave me a firm place to stand. And I quote this because the next thing that Isaiah talks about is redemption. The idea of being taken from a slimy pit and set down on a rock is for me one picture of redemption. And it's certainly something Isaiah's people would know about. They knew all about the way life sometimes goes pear-shaped. And when that happens, what do we usually do? We kind of dig ourselves into a hole from which it seems to be impossible to get out. Sin and some forms of addiction can get us into trouble. And it's impossible to break the mold and start again. But God has this rescue plan called redemption, where he takes us from the mess we are in and plants us in a better place. Crucially for us, the plan came into force when Jesus died on the cross. He rose from death 3 days later, securing total forgiveness for all who trust in him. And it's amazing because through this act, Jesus has secured forgiveness and therefore redemption for us for all time. Any wrongdoing we've got involved with can be forgiven. So there we are, created, named, and redeemed. But there's more. You see, the world is not always a nice place. And God has in place a plan to protect his people from the nasties. Plan one is to redeem us from the evils that we ourselves are responsible for perpetrating. Plan two is to protect us from the external things that can happen around us. And I think, first of all, of the way Jesus foretold that we might face persecution, especially at the end times. He tells of famines and earthquakes and nation rising against nation. He talks of great distress, unequaled since the world began. But then he says, if those days had not been shortened, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Fortunately, we're not suffering like that yet. But if and when it comes, a protection plan is in place. And whilst that sounds extreme, there are many ways in which we can still feel threatened even now, perhaps by the severe weather conditions, perhaps by a demanding boss, perhaps by the constant arrival of invoices and bills for stuff that we need. But his message to us is that even in these things, I will be with you. Luke 21 and verse 9, Jesus tells the disciples, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be afraid. And on the subject of persecution, in verse 14, Jesus says, make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Isaiah's take on this is, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. I had to pause when I wrote this because how apt it seems in the light of recent flooding in the northeast. And sometimes we get a bit of flooding in Buckingham as well, don't we? And he goes on, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And immediately my thoughts turn to Los Angeles. He says, the flames will not set you ablaze. It's a frightening scenario, isn't it, Los Angeles? And as such, we cannot trivialize what has happened. And some have lost their lives, and we have to place them into the hands of God. And as Israel looked back through history, Israel could say, yes, we've been through things like that, and the Lord did protect us, and now we know that he will protect us again. Obviously, if there is a fire blazing around us, we must take precautions not to be caught out. But in the final analysis, the Lord will provide help over and above what we might expect. In summary, the world is not always a nice place, but God knows that. Do not be afraid. Created, named, redeemed, and protected. What a list of blessings that God has for us. But there's more. And it comes in verse 4. You are precious in my sight, and I love you. So we're not like a swarm of ants where individuals are just one of thousands. We are people who are loved and honored by God, to the extent that he sent his son Jesus to redeem us, that we might all become part of the family. So he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. What better companion could we have? What better guardian and protector? And we are special and we are precious to him. And all he asks in return is that we give him honor and glory and the respect and consideration that he asks of us. For we belong to him and he belongs to us. So the message of Isaiah 43 is complicated, but also simple and easy. In a world which is becoming increasingly difficult, it is still a place where God knows all about it, and he assures us that he is with us. That's amazing, and that's encouraging, because he's created us. He has named us. He has redeemed us. He has protected us. And above all, we are precious to him. As it says in John chapter 1, to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. And these verses of scripture are amazing, and at the very least, are worthy of our consideration. So may God be with us as we go into this coming week.